Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Real quick, Terry writes this. Parker Griffin thinks candidates should be qualified. What does that mean? Matt says, morning, Jeff. As a moderate Republican, I do appreciate the diverse political guests you bring on the show, including Congressman Griffith. He always brings one. Bring something to the table with some interesting perspective. Keep up the good work. Thank you for that. 251-343-0106. We'll get to more of those texts as the show continues. Joining us now on the line, however, very pleased to bring on. He is working for the Brick campaign, but also has his, hung up his own shingle since editing my terrible copy at Yellowhammer News. Sean Ross is on the line with us. Sean, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. I'm doing well. You're much too hard on yourself.
Well, you are your own toughest critic sometimes. Sean, tell us how things are going. It seems to me it's been kind of quiet. I don't know what I had expected coming out of the primary. I thought maybe there'd be a week kind of off and everybody would kind of catch their breath and then we'd be back at it, but not really. That, other than some, I'd say some mild, interesting controversies, not really that active yet.
Well, you know, we're kind of executing our strategy just traveling to visit directly with voters right now across the state. Katie was in Huntsville yesterday, spent a full day there, and she's really working hard to do that. You know, we're just kind of in a position, Jeff, where it's no secret that Congressman Brooks is trailing, and, you know, he's having to get, you know, frankly, a little more desperate and a little more creative to try and make some noise. So we're just trying to stay above that and focus on, you know, what has put Katie in this position, which is talking about her message and the future of our state. So we're trying not to get bogged down in any nonsense and just run our race.
Well, and he's thrown a bunch of Hail Marys. Is there a concern that, well, what if he connects? What if he completes one of those? I mean, I don't know what it would be. Other than the only thing I could see, maybe a Trump endorsement, but we've already been down that path.
No, like as far as all the stuff Congressman Brooks is baselessly just throwing against the wall here, these are all the same kind of topics he's been talking about for months. And, you know, none of it's stuck because a lot of it is obviously untrue, but some of it is just kind of wacky too. It's just, you know, it has not resonated with voters. And again, this is, you know, the topics here are not new. Maybe the delivery is, and some of the stretches are a little new, but, you know, and he's been going around the state with flyers, attacking Katie Britt for the last, goodness, flyers have been for months, but on the stump, I mean, he's been partly negative on the stump this entire time. So we're not dealing with that being a new aspect, Jeff.
Sean, the controversy that, and I know you responded to it, I think it was AL.com, but they all kind of run together. No, I guess it was 1819. You said, you know, the idea that the Democrats are crossing over to vote for Katie Britt, and that may explain some of the margin. And I think I told Katie this, I was filling in for April Marie last week, That may be going on, but did you look at these the bona fide Republican Party Republican counties in this state, the ones that Winston County that hasn't gone for a Democrat since the well probably has never had going all the way back to the Civil War, and she wins those counties. I said, just how many Democrats are crossing over in Geneva County? I mean, these counties that are not Democrat strongholds, but she consistently wins every county, be it Democrat or Republican. And to me, I don't know that maybe it made a difference on the margins, and maybe it didn't. But certainly it has become an issue at this stage of the campaign. And just kind of respond to some of that, if you would, a little bit.
Well, you're spot on about just some of the points there where, you know, Katie excelled in rural parts of the state where there are not many Democrats. I would also note that our polling shows us doing best with the strong, faithful 4 out of 4 Republicans. And, you know, the data has shown that it was Mr. Durant who probably did best among folks who were, you know, a little less likely to vote and who were not as, you know, just diehard Republicans. The other thing that I think is kind of funny and telling here is when Congressman Brooks was chair of Ted Cruz's campaign in Alabama, and of course Donald Trump won that primary contest over Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, Mo Brooks blamed Democrats voting for Donald Trump to win him that primary. So this is a retread strategy by Congressman Brooks here, who cannot accept that his candidate, him in this case, lost.
So now I don't remember this. Now it's my memory sometimes lapses, but Congressman Brooks blamed Democrats for voting for Donald Trump in the 2016 Alabama Republican Party presidential primary.
Yeah, that's correct. I'll have to send you that clipping, Jeff. We've got that in black and white.
That's interesting. But that was, I don't know if how much, do you think that's fair game? I mean, obviously y'all do because y'all are kind of using it a little bit, or some of your allies are using it. But I think most people in this state are like, well, he just had Ted Cruz's was his guy, and he just went to bat for him and left it all on the field.
No, I think there's a difference, though. You know, there were, sure, many Republicans across the country who, you know, through the primary process were pretty hostile to the president. But then when the primary process finished, they got on board. Congressman Brooks was not really one of those people who got on board. In October, right before the general election, our friend Dale Jackson essentially presses him, hey, you said you're voting for every Republican on the ballot. That means Donald Trump, right? And Congressman Brooks responded, I didn't say that. And Dale followed up saying, are you suggesting Donald Trump is not a Republican? And Congressman Brooks said, well, he'll have to figure that out. He also, just days ahead of the general election, early November 2016, said neither Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump are well-suited, and people should just pick the lesser of two evils. There's a huge difference between being a primary supporter of another candidate and saying those kind of things in a general election setting, Jeff.
Joined by Sean Ross, he is a working for the BRIC campaign, also some other candidates around the state. Back to this, and historically, I don't know, Alabama has this perception of being a, you know, right-wing Bible Belt type of state, and then we elect ideologues, but Sean, I can't think of the last time, other than maybe Roy Moore, that Alabama elected an ideological candidate. Now, the people say, well, what about Jeff Sessions? But when he ran in 96, he wasn't running as the Jeff Sessions that we kind of think of him as now. That was a totally different time. He was the attorney general. There's a lot of different things going on, particularly with Clinton as president. But Alabamians don't necessarily go for that guy that is the movement conservative type of guy. You know what I'm trying to get at here, I suppose, that where Mo Brooks sort of comes out of, or Ted Cruz is another example, that there is a, I don't know if it's pragmatism or if it's populism or what it is, but whatever it is, it's not ideologically pure as the wind-driven snow.
Well, you know, look, people elect candidates, and, you know, that it's really hard to kind of pinpoint, you know, exactly which factor people are liking about the candidates. I mean, it's just really depends, Jeff, and I know that's kind of a non-scientific answer there, but people matter. I mean, people are voting for the person on the ballot. They have to like that person. They have to trust that person. They have to believe that person is going to defend their values and fight for their interests. And ultimately, you know, I think for the last few election cycle, especially with Senator Tuberville. I mean, people are just looking for something a little different. They're looking for fresh blood to shake things up, and I think that's one of the reasons Katie has excelled.
Well, and there's something else about the Katie Britt candidacy that maybe I think a lot of us do this really overlooked. I mean, she, at least on paper, but I think probably in reality too, but she is a type of person you want your daughter to be like. You want or you want to be like. She has the family. She has a successful career. She married the star football player. She has checks all these boxes, I think. And politically, there's something to that makes people say, I want to give her a look. I want to vote for it. I don't think you can necessarily discount that.
No. I mean, I think it's great for people to have somebody they can be proud of representing our state, not just for now, but for the future. I mean, the future of our state, we believe, is on the ballot. And, yeah, having somebody who can be a role model and can be also somebody that they see themselves and their family represented in, I think that's hugely important, Jeff.
I was, like, talking to somebody about it last night, and it went, like, you know, it just seemed at the very beginning of this race, Mo Brooks was the guy. He kind of, it was hard to quantify really how upset people in this state, particularly voters, were over the 2020 election. But he was the guy. He was there in the trenches with Trump, and you know, the Trump got a raw deal there, and Trump had backed Mo Brooks, and you know, just how do you overcome that? And when it all said and done, none of that seemed to be as big of a factor as we had thought it would be.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, Katie certainly got in as the underdog. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the polling, namely the Club for Growth polling that was put out, I believe, in April of last year, showed Congressman Brooks with a 50-point lead. I mean, you would have thought that was insurmountable. But again, kind of to what we were just talking about, you strip away all the noise and, you know, some of those factors on paper. And I think you just put the candidates side by side, and, you know, there's a reason now that Katie has surged. You know, she's a special person, and I think she's going to be great for the future of Alabama.
Well, I think the lesson here is this. You got to get off your butt and get out around the state. And you got to be seen. Tuberville did this. Tuberville's a U.S. senator now. Bradley Byrd tried to do a little bit of it. He probably focused a little too much on North Alabama, but it didn't really pay off up there. Katie Britt's done that, and she's taking it to another level, though. She's showing up in Sumter County. She's showing up in Demopolis. These are not Democrat. I mean, these are Democrat counties. These are not typical Republican counties. And then you look at that map, and obviously the three counties in North Alabama that were Mo Brooks and Mike Durant's territory, other than Blount and Shelby, she swept the rest of the counties.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think work ethic is hugely important. And just also showing that you care about a lot of these areas in rural Alabama that I think have been forgotten by the permanent political class. I mean, we've got, first of all, just a large state, but state with a lot of unmet potential in certain areas, Jeff. And I think when politicians, you know, hashtag all 67, they should mean it.
Well, that's kind of my impression. Now, back when I didn't have a radio show and I could get out and about, and I would go to these towns and these counties, and you would just find that, especially in these places, Andalusia, Demopolis, Scottsboro, Monroeville, places like that, a lot of these elected officials, a lot of these guys in those communities just wanted somebody to talk to, somebody that would hear from them. And they didn't feel like they were getting that necessarily from the political establishment in Montgomery. Sure, they had their local senator or their state senator or their representative or, you know, their local officials, but they really felt like they had been overlooked. And I think actually realizing that there's something there to that in an election statewide.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. I mean, it's really, yeah, I mean, this is just how voters in general feel, Jeff, and certainly it translates to a community level in our rural areas, but people just want to feel heard. And I mean, that's one of the reasons President Trump did so well in a lot of these swing states across the country, where you had these forgotten, you know, blue collar workers who maybe in the past were part of the Democratic coalition, maybe were independents, but you know, the globalist permanent political class from both parties had left them behind. They'd shipped their jobs overseas, and they just wanted to be heard. They wanted to felt like they mattered.
Yeah,
and I think we have a lot of areas in Alabama just like that.
I mentioned Monroeville, and I spent some time there. When Vanity Fair left Monroeville, very few other parts of the state really seem to care about that. But you look at this community ever since the 1920s. You had this presence of textiles, and then in the 1990s, it just disappears. And it changed entire complexion of communities all throughout that part of the state. And you go talk to those guys, and their dad worked there, their mom worked there. They grew up there, but now they had to move or whatever it may be. And no one's paying attention to that. And I think that shows you that you got to take it to those places and talk to those people. And that is worth, I don't know what percentage of the vote, but certainly a significant enough percentage. Maybe it's, to add to, you look at the 100,000 vote margin y'all won by, 20, 30,000 of that could be from that alone.
I think you're spot on, because our state has it in several pockets. I mean, whether it's the Black Belt, whether it's up near Scottsboro, whether it's in Wiregrass, where textiles used to be big, whether it's in some of our, you know, coal counties. We've been, I think, disproportionately impacted by policies on the federal level that have shipped American jobs overseas or just obliterated American jobs.
Yeah.
And we have to be talking about that.
Hey, Sean, we got to get out of here. We're up against the break. Folks want to find out more about the Britt campaign. Tell them where to look.
Thanks, Jeff. KatieBritt4Senate.com, on social media, at KatieBritt4AL.
Sean, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, sir.
All right, you got to get out of here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Living their lives.